Republicans argue it is time for Congress to clamp down on judges. Lawmakers can do that since Congress created many of these courts.
Now that you have a more conservative court, they're desperate. They're not in power in Congress anymore. And so I think a lot of these judges are taking it upon themselves to usurp really important power.
The House will consider a bill on Thursday mandating proof of citizenship to vote. Top Democrats are suing President Trump over an executive order about voting. They say the president lacks the power to make people prove they are Americans. Wisconsin just approved a plan requiring ID to vote.
So there's Chad Pergram and, of course, Senator Eric Schmidt talking about the constant legal effort against Donald Trump. Isn't it funny how they're like, you can't make them prove they're citizens? Seems like people should be like, hi, here I am. I am a citizen. One of the most annoying things about the push to show an ID when you vote is there's this really, in my opinion, poorly founded attempt to get who all worked up? Women. And why? Because the patriarchy is trying to make you prove that you are who you say you are. When you go to vote, you're supposed to have two forms of ID that match your name. And my birth certificate does not have the same name on it that my license does because I got married and I changed my name. These are things that could be very simply fixed, and I wish that the Republicans would address it. I mean, if you're legal, every time I fill anything out and it says like you have to, and it says you have to fill out your legal name, a lot of times, especially if it has to do with income taxes or finances, I will have to list other names that I've been known by. This stuff is part of record. Why on your voter card when they go to flip through the binder to find your place so that they can give you the correct ballot? Why could it not list your name? Your maiden name. Why would that be a problem? It wouldn't be. And why would we be willing to say, oh, to hell with it. If you're an immigrant and you're here illegally and you're not a citizen and you want to vote, we'll let those people vote. So some old bat who's got her name changed and wants to get all worked up about it won't have to deal with the proof that her name is legally what it says in their binder.
I think you might just be part of the patriarchy.
Binders of women.
You know what?
Blame Pierre Delecto for
it
this
would
one.
Be. It would be weird, though, if the patriarchy solved that problem, because then what would you do? Patriarchy can't solve a problem created by the patriarchy, can they? This is a bizarro world.
Well, you would think that you would want to put it on the patriarchy to fix their own mess, but if you're a postmodern feminist, you know that men are incapable of fixing messes.
They can't fix it.
They just make messes worse all the time. So I think what should end up happening is only women should vote.
Ooh. Yeah. You know what? There's nothing in the Constitution. There was never an amendment for men to vote.
I think there was. I think that was the problem. And I will remind everybody that black men could vote before white women. Maybe that's why they're mad. It's just starting to catch up to them. They just finally read their history books. Protests. Are in-person protests effective in 2025? I have only known that this was a weekend of protesting. I mean, like, super protesting. Not like, I'm really sad and I'm angry and there's a Tesla. I'm going to key it right now because I have feelings. Not that. Apparently, they were organized protests, and I, by chance, did not encounter any of them. But of course, social media will always do the trick and serve it up. Like, it's just like The View. Does it even exist if conservative media doesn't promote it? I don't know.
No, it doesn't.
I am unaware. Millions of conservatives had to look up the time that The View is on and the channel that The View is on the day after Election Day because they couldn't help themselves.
Yeah, I think that show is actually subsidized by the GOP.
Yeah, just you keep doing what you're doing. Don't move. Don't go away. ABC, just knocking it out of the park. There were protests. What do you know about them?
I know that they looked like some of them were big, but they looked like they were targeted to areas where you'd go, wow, a big protest in Utah? Even Utah? Like they picked certain areas so that they could say that. It was all about the narrative.
Know, that's really like flattering to Utah.
Yeah.
Like if you're a Utahn.
Uh-huh.
Are you going
U-T-O-N?
No. A-H-N.
Ah.
I think that's the correct term.
Okay.
Do you doubt me?
Yes.
I kind of do, but I'm 52% sure. Do you think that if you hear that, like even in Utah, are you like, hey, we're mad too over here and we can throw fits?
I don't know what you'd think if you're in Utah, because I have no clue. I've been to Utah one time. Beautiful place. Don't know what their politics are, because they seem like they elect weird people sometimes.
So you didn't encounter anything?
I didn't encounter anything.
How much did you know about it?
I knew about it because of social media. That's it. It's all a social media play at this point. That's what's weird about protesting, is that it's about the cameras much more than it is about the protest, which I'm not blaming them. That's the way it's played now. But it's not... It just doesn't feel like an old 60s hippie protest anymore. It's all about staging the shots.
Brad, did you encounter any protesting?
No, I didn't encounter any protesting. I knew about them same way Ryan did. I'd open up social media and look and be like, oh, look, there's a protest going on. Apparently, there were like four people in my hometown that were taking part. Just four of them, but in O'Fallon, Illinois. Standing out front of City Hall, hands off.
Did they,
you know,
did they stop City Hall?
No.
Did City Hall take notice and go, uh-oh?
It was Sunday. Look, we shut this place down!
This place didn't even open today.
I tell you, I saw a picture of them, and the funny thing is, it was exactly who you said they were, Annie. It was like three old white ladies and one old white man. Gray hair.
It's the same people from the 60s. We were just talking about them.
So, man, I don't know what good doing protests does anymore. I've only been part of one protest, and that was the Show Us Your Smiles rally.
We're like, we like to see people smile.
Yeah,
and
please.
People are walking around going, boo, 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 with their middle fingers, like, smiling sucks, cover that up. And you're like, have a nice day.
I mean, what a bizarre event that was. It was literally called the Show Us Your Smile event.
I still have a sign that I made.
And we had a song, too. It was, Show Me That Smile Again. Show me that smile again.
No, it wasn't. We chanted not once.
No? We didn't?
No.
We didn't sing?
No.
Maybe that's where we messed up. We didn't stop COVID.
Did you? That was the whole point.
Could have sung it right out of there.
That was a protest. I don't think it had no effect on things. Sometimes you just need to... I think that... A successful protest brings light and attention to something that maybe people didn't realize. I am not, if I see people out protesting Trump, I'm like, happy Tuesday.
Yeah, what's new?
People from Utah are officially called Utahns. I even spelled it correctly. Do you see that right there? Huh? On the screen?
I'm looking. Hang on.
Skill.
A term that has been codified by the state legislature.
Oh.
I wonder if Illinois.
Man, I don't know if I like the way that's spelled. Because it looks like Utahns. Utahns.
I'm sure that Utah's concerned about your thoughts on how to spell Utahn.
Well, we need to make this a video and tag Utah in it.
Can we get the social media handle, Ethan, for Utah?
Look, it's all about, we just said, it's all about the cameras.
Not anybody specifically, just the state of Utah.
Yes.
We need to speak to Utahns all together.
Let's call the video, What Are You, Utahns? You know what it reminds me of?
There he goes. He going.
It's a salad.
What? Like a crouton?
Like a crouton.
Okay.
That's all I got for this whole segment.
If you're out on a protest and you're trying to bring awareness to something, okay. If you're trying to bring, like, I'm not 100% sure because I didn't encounter any of them, so I can't speak from personal experience. I've seen stuff out there from people who protested in Illinois, in like Springfield, and people who are protesting around St. Louis, because I saw it on social media, and they're just really mad at President Elon Musk. And it's like, at the end of this protest, what do you hope to accomplish? Like, what's the outcome?
It's a great question, because there's weird story, but I interviewed somebody on my weekend show about 2 years ago. If you know the name Richard Matheson, he's a famous sci-fi writer, wrote for Twilight Zone and Star Trek and stuff. His daughter was also a TV writer. He's dead, but I got to interview his daughter, and she was great. She was totally willing to come on 97.1, but she's now a friend of mine on Facebook because of that interview. And so I see when she goes out and does things. She's exactly who you'd think. She's a 60-something-year-old white woman, and she was out protesting this weekend. So I was like, oh, this is interesting. Somebody in my feed who's out protesting the same stuff we're seeing on socials. She was holding up signs that said things like, hands off my Medicaid and Social Security.
It's good.
And I have to honestly...
Better not stop Trump too much because he wants to make Social Security tax free.
I know. I just don't understand because it's not... As far as I understand it, none of those things have been affected at all. Now, somebody maybe find a detail somewhere and say, well, though this thing has. But has anybody stopped getting payments or... Has Social Security or Medicaid really been affected at all? Because I think the answer to that is no.
Have real, live beneficiaries of Social Security missed out on any benefits? And if you're like, no, they haven't yet, but they're going to, and you're trying to stop something from happening, it'll be funny when it doesn't happen and you feel accomplished in stopping it from happening when it was never going to happen.
Yeah, you're kind of in a win-win there, aren't you?
Maybe they're brilliant.
They're the ones playing 3D chess. They've outwitted Trump.
Start Nanny Fry Show protest that demands the sun rise in the east.
Yep. And if it does...
By tomorrow morning.
You win.
Yay.
Let's go do that protest at 3.
It's probably going to be super cloudy the next day.
We told you they were going to take the sun away.
We had this one in the bank.
No. We still win. Because we told everybody the sun's not going to come up. We need to get out there and get this message
out. We'll give them 24 more hours.
And then we're going to do this again. They better get their act together.
Dave Murray on our side.
Yeah.
We should talk to him first.
Dave Murray would be glad to be a part of that conversation, I guarantee.
I'm pretty sure no.
I'm pretty sure no also.
He turns down pretty fast.
Yep, I changed my mind immediately.
Donald Trump is going to speak in the Oval Office. Of course, Steve Moore is on Fox News right now, as we usually manage to schedule a conflict there. So we'll have to listen to what he has to say. We'll play that when we come back. Is Ryan going to be with us?
Last I checked, he was still in that meeting.
Okay, so no.
So as of right now, no, but he might be ready for 2:25.
Well, we're continuing to watch the White House schedule that I got last night said that this press conference was supposed to start at 1:30. So I think what we're going to do, we're going to go a little bit longer in this segment, and then we'll go to a commercial break. But we're trying to make sure that whatever Donald Trump has to say right now, because what he has to say could be hugely impactful on what's going on right now with the markets. I wish that they'd put that little ticker back up there right now, because get Fox Business up here right now. The markets are not panicking today the way that I think a lot of people were worried about it. The NASDAQ and the S&P are both up.
Wow.
The Dow is down 29 points.
That is a huge surprise.
That's wild.
I messaged you guys yesterday. What's the over-under on the...
You set the over-under.
Over-under on Dow dropping 3,500 points. Because all in other international markets, especially Asia, were dropping by 9, 8, 10%.
Yeah.
So I said, man, if that happens here, that's what it's going
to
look like.
So we went to the economist in the room, and Brad was like, I'm going to take the under.
And Brad
was
right.
As in not going up, not going to crash 3,500 points.
Let's see. Last I checked, it was 55 down.
29 points. I just said, I'm looking at it right now. I'll let you check it. Go ahead.
Yeah,
you go ahead and tell me what
happened.
That's
what mine says too.
Really?
Well, now it says 57, so it's moving. DJIA, Dow Jones Industrial Average. Yes.
I think the number one thing that we could do for the rest of the show is every time it moves, we should tell you.
61.
Okay, 62. Down.
This is like 1999.
No, this is what we have to do. We'll say it in a low voice if it's going down. But once it starts going up, you have to say it in a high voice.
Does it have to be in the green to say it in a high voice, or just that it went up from before?
Just for fun, I think if it moves in the
39.
Correct direction, there you go.
Just waiting on the next one. I'll let you know.
We'll just sit here and wait.
Okay. Oh, 65.
Oh, no, that's sad.
65. That's a big drop.
This is how people are living their lives right now. I don't mean to make light of it, other than the fact that it's not Black Monday.
Ooh, 88.
Oh, gosh.
Hey, NASDAQ's still at 171 up.
I'm going to need a little more height on that report.
Okay. 62. Dow Jones.
President Trump will be meeting and speaking with Netanyahu. They will be in the Oval Office. We will carry it live when we come back. We want to know your thoughts on the Annie Fry Show YouTube live chat poll. Have had the opportunity to explain a little bit recently to people who came to vote for the poll and couldn't find it, didn't understand it. Let me make it real simple. You pull up your app. You pull up the live broadcast at YouTube.com. You go on your computer. You go on your screen at home if you're looking on a smart screen. When you pull up the chat area of the live broadcast happening right now, you're going to have this question and these options to answer. Are in-person protests effective in 2025? Yes, they're effective in favor of the cause. Yes, they're effective, but against the cause. Or no, they're just not effective anymore. We want to know what you think about this. We'll look to take phone calls on it if we get 300 votes. Is this... No, that's last week. So I was going to say, man, that's a huge, huge total of votes. If we get over 300 votes before 2 o'clock, we'll take phone calls in the 2 o'clock hour on this as well. So hustle up and get there. We're a little over halfway to that point right now. So let's take a quick break. We will bring you Donald Trump and Netanyahu in the Oval Office as soon as they start speaking. Hasn't happened yet. So stick with us. We're so glad to bring you the up-to-the-minute developments on this very important time in the Donald Trump administration. This is what they told us they were going to do. Now we see how smart Donald Trump is. We'll be right back.
It's not a question, but a
3 o'clock in the morning, the Senate just wrapped up its work on the budget resolution that allows us to move forward and make permanent those tax cuts for working class families, secure a border and money for deportations, making sure our military's ready, and also reining in wasteful spending in Washington. So the Democrats had a bunch of amendments to try to derail it. We're able to defeat those. And now it goes from the Senate over to the House. And this allows us effectively to deliver on President Trump's agenda, what the American people voted for, this America First agenda last November. So we're going to continue to work hard on it. But tonight was a big, important step in that process.
Our very own Senator Eric Schmidt talking about the vote that took place on Friday. We're going to get the details from that here from our guest. Ryan Schmelz is going to join us, Fox News Radio, Capitol Hill and White House correspondent. Of course, we're waiting for President Trump to be speaking from the White House alongside Netanyahu, who is in town. Of course, they're going to be talking about tariffs as well. So there's a lot going on, but we want to get down to this. Ryan, welcome back to the show. Thanks for being here today. What can you tell us about the developments at the very end of the week there in the Senate?
Well, great to be on, Annie, as always. Now, this was a voterama, so there were a number of amendments that went down, and this vote started, you know, late Friday night, went all the way into about 2 o'clock in the morning, Saturday morning. So a very long, very exhausting night for a lot of people who are working here, whether you're in the press or you're a member of the Senate. But now it goes to the House. And what's interesting is you notice there were two people who voted no on the Republican side. You had Rand Paul from Kentucky. I don't think that was a surprise, but you also had Susan Collins of Maine voting no as well. So I think the big question is, who's going to be a no on the House side? You know, they can only afford to lose about three members on this on the Republican side, and this is not looking good. There, you could probably say this bill is on life support. There are a number of conservative members who've already come out, indicated or said flat out that they're going to be a no, including the Freedom Caucus chairman, Andy Harris. Eric Burleson of Missouri had some pretty harsh words for the bill as well. I didn't really take it as a hard no just yet, but it definitely seemed like it's trending in the wrong direction when it comes to how certain members feel about this on the Republican side.
So Ryan Schmelz, tell us about this bill, what the Senate is trying to accomplish here. I think a lot of people talk about it at a very high level view where it's like they're trying to push forward Trump's agenda. Well, Trump's got a lot of things going right now, and his agenda is pretty big and broad. What does the Senate feel that they were accomplishing regarding Donald Trump's agenda by passing this bill?
So for starters, you have over $300 billion there for border and national defense, which was obviously huge for the Trump agenda. You've also got energy policy that's going to be in here, too. And I believe there's some border policy that's in there as well. And then you've got the renewal or the extension of the Trump tax cuts. And in the Senate's case, they make the Trump tax cuts permanent. And then you also have some other tax policy in there. It's over $4.5 trillion worth of tax cuts over the next decade. And it also includes $2 trillion in spending cuts. Now, where the issue is that Republicans in the House believe that there were some provisions that were put in there that would allow for the $2 trillion to essentially be skirted in many ways or not be achieved. Whereas the House version, there's a lot of parameters in there that essentially would guarantee that they have to reach $2 trillion in spending cuts. And in the House provision, they even say if you do not reach that $2 trillion goal, then you have to go and take money away from the tax cuts in order to offset that difference. The House Republicans just feel that the changes that were made by the Senate just don't guarantee that they're going to reach that goal for spending when it comes to spending cuts. So there's a big concern there and a big red flag there for a lot of them.
So the House Freedom Caucus chairman, as you mentioned, Andy Harris, said that he would oppose the Senate's version, according to a FoxNews.com exclusive here, of sweeping legislation to advance President Trump's agenda if it was voted on in the chamber this week. So the big problem there for the Freedom Caucus chair and the people who might be in his line of thinking is you have to accommodate for the cuts that you want to make permanent in these Trump tax cuts. You need to cut more spending. Is that the summation of it?
Essentially, yes. I think they want parameters in there and guarantees that they're going to reach that goal when it comes to spending cuts. And they feel that there's just too many loopholes in there right now that would allow for the Senate or whoever the Republican president would be, whether it's President Trump or somebody else, to get around that. So they want guarantees that this does not end up like it did, let's say 2016, 2017, when they passed the Trump tax cuts initially. And they also went on to pass a budget down the road. And next thing you know, you saw the deficit move in the wrong direction. You saw the national debt move in the wrong direction. I think Republicans are kind of saying we have to do what we say we're going to do and actually address this national debt problem. And as the Budget Committee Chairman Jody Arrington calls it, a spending addiction problem he feels is here in Washington.
Ryan Schmelz is speaking with us right now. We are excited to have the Fox News Radio Capitol Hill and White House correspondent on with us here weekly to give us the update on what is developing on Capitol Hill. Did the Republicans in the Senate, you know, of course, you said Collins and Rand Paul, they both voted against it. Are the other senators all super in favor of it? Was it pretty simple for them to be able to get this through?
You know, there were a little bit of hiccups here and there, but ultimately they got across the finish line. And I think there is a hope amongst the administration they can do this again. You know, President Trump still has a heavy influence in the Republican Party. So if he's able to maybe get some do some lobbying here, you know, we've gotten a statement from the White House saying that the president wants this bill to pass and he's good with it as it is. So if President Trump gets aggressive, can he sway? Can he do some arm wringing here that would get a number of these Republicans to yes? I think it certainly is a possibility, but is it going to be enough? Because the amount of Republicans we're seeing that are no's right now, that list continues to grow. And when you can only afford to lose about three of them when Congress has a full attendance, that's an uphill climb. So can he get there? That's the big question.
So we know that the two Florida races, both Waltz and Gates's positions have been filled. Republicans won both of them. Just give us a little bit more detail on the breakdown of what the House has. You've mentioned the three votes there. What's the difference and how does that shake out?
So we're looking at a difference of 220 to 213 right now off the top of my head. That means that they can lose about three votes on any given key vote. Now, down the road, eventually they're going to have special elections to fill the two Democrat seats of members who passed away in recent months in a very close period of time together, Texas as well as Arizona. And so when those two seats are filled, then they're back to where they were before, which is they can only afford to lose one person on any key vote. So this is not exactly easy. I think somebody put it in terms, you know, the last time they did reconciliation, I believe they lost the amount of Republicans they lost. It was in the teen number. Well, they can't do that this time. You can't afford to lose 14 Republicans and still pass a bill. Yeah. You've got to have pretty much almost complete unity on any issue to get it through.
And I think that the only way to make that happen really has to be Donald Trump gets it through and they say, I don't like this, but which we saw in the last big vote. You know, I didn't really like this, but I trust Donald Trump and I trust him to take this where it needs to be so that we can get done what we need to get done. Of course, one of the biggest things that everybody's talking about nationally right now are the tariffs that are being implemented across the globe by the Donald Trump administration on behalf of the United States of America. We saw some movement in Congress trying to, I guess, contain a little bit the authority that the president has on those tariffs. What can you tell us about Congress's action so far?
Right. So in the Senate side, you have a resolution that's being backed by Chuck Grassley of Iowa. And Rand Paul is also pretty heavily involved with this. Not a surprise. Rand Paul has been one of the biggest critics of the Trump tariffs. He's just been a critic of tariffs in general. And he's been very consistent on that. But that resolution would return the tariff power to Congress, essentially. So a president can propose a tariff, but it has to be approved within 60 days of that tariff being approved. The president would also have to go and present, you know, why he's doing this, what kind of impact it would have on the economy, and essentially explain why they're doing these tariffs and then get it approved by Congress. Congressman Don Bacon of Nebraska, who Trump supporter, but has been a critic in the past. He also has a bill that's kind of similar to that, where it'd return a lot of that power to Congress and put Congress essentially in control of approving tariffs whenever they're implemented by a president. So you're kind of seeing that type of movement, but I still think there's this feeling that something like that is just not going to pass. Congress has given up a lot of trade authority to the president over the years, and it just, based off the makeup it is right now, would be very hard for something like that to get through.
Fox News Radio, Capitol Hill and White House correspondent Ryan Schmell speaking with us right now. Last topic for you, Elon Musk, Doge, the cuts that they've been trying to seek out and find. I think I heard him say maybe on the Bret Baier interview something like they try to find $1 billion a day to cut. What's the reaction so far on the progress that Doge is making? And then, of course, those rumors that maybe Elon Musk is not for long in Washington, D.C.
Right. So Elon's under an interesting circumstance where I believe because he's an unofficial government employee, he has to leave or has to be, you know, no longer part of the administration within, I think it's 130 days. It's something around that limit. But then also you have Senator John Kennedy of Louisiana going to the White House for a meeting amongst a number of Republicans and the White House last week. And he, according to him, told Susie Wiles and told President Trump, we need you to send us a rescissions package soon. And a rescissions package is pretty much a list of cuts that the White House feels, it, you know, mm-hmm. can be used. And they send it to Congress, and Congress can pass it on a simple majority. So it's, if the votes are there, it's very easy for them to get them done. So I think that's where Kennedy is saying, yeah, hey, look, we have these cuts. They seem nice. A lot of them are getting challenged by the courts. But if you send us this package, we can get this through, and these cuts are permanent, and we can officially save the government money. So I think that's maybe a step that we're going to expect down the future. According to Kennedy, Susie Wiles told him that they will get it to them very soon. So I guess we're just kind of waiting on that to happen.
That's interesting to hear that report. Ryan, regarding Doge here, I'm looking at I have the debt clock, always at the ready. Doge clock has saved over $290 billion, and they have it broken down in savings per taxpayer, $2,589. It hasn't been talked about here recently, but they did talk about a Doge dividend, the possibility that Americans would get at least a slice of that per taxpayer savings.
Yeah.
Is that still something that anybody is seriously having conversation about?
I think people like to joke about it, but I don't think people are taking that really seriously, especially when, you know, you'll have Republicans say, all right, well, that sounds great. We did the stimulus package when President Trump was president under a very interesting circumstance, which is COVID. But, you know, if we're going to be serious about addressing the national debt, doing a government stimulus with all the money we save is not going to really solve that issue. They think that money needs to go back to the Treasury and go back to paying back the national debt.
Well, it's an interesting thing. And unfortunately, and I guess fortunately at the same time, we have much larger fish to fry right now than the Doge dividend. But I just thought, you haven't talked about it a lot, and people got, a lot of people across the board kind of leaned in on, say that Doge dividend again? What? Explain that to me. Thank you, Ryan. We appreciate you. There's a very, very busy time right now in Capitol Hill, so we appreciate the slice of time you give us each week. Thanks for being here.
Always great to be on, Annie. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. He is the Fox News Radio Capitol Hill and White House correspondent, Ryan Schmelz, there with us today once again. Follow him on X, at Ryan Schmelz Fox. That's his X handle. And he's great for us. We get to have really good access to what is taking place at the very, very nexus of all the events in Congress. We're going to take a quick break here. We're still watching to see President Trump and Netanyahu. We knew this could kind of be... they schedule it at 1:30, and then, you know, it probably won't start before 1:30. That's basically how I always think of things. I'm watching right now on Fox. They've got people up protesting at something. I don't know. They can't protest without cussing. I don't understand how It's not the flies and vinegar, flies and honey situation that they're going for. They're kind of taking a different tactic. We're going to talk a little bit more about that when we return, but we want you to vote in today's YouTube live chat poll. Are in-person protests effective in 2025? Have you seen these protests? When you see a protest, are you like, yeah, that's right, that's exactly right, you should be out there and I should be out there with you? Are they in favor of the cause? They're effective but against the cause, so kind of like a counterintuitive effect? Or no, they're just not effective anymore. It's just something that people do to waste time or to pass time. You tell us on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. Come give us a vote. We'd love to have you there. Subscribe to the channel. Leave a comment if you want to as well. We got a lot of comments coming in on this one. And let's see. Chris says, poll. I said no. It's just the loud few, and it does nothing to bring more people against their cause, right or wrong. Scooter says lots of examples of successful protests. Vietnam, civil rights. Yes, on the poll. I don't know that those are really current 2025 protests, but maybe I'm not looking in the right place, Scooter. That's always possible. And Jack says, protests don't change minds. Just allow participants to feel good. You agree? Let us know on the Annie Fry YouTube channel. We'll be right back.
These hands-off protests yesterday were nothing more than a bunch of rich liberals melting down and throwing tantrums because their candidate did not win in November. They can't handle the fact that President Trump won with a decisive mandate. He won every single swing state, the House, the Senate, the popular vote, you name it. And what really confounded me about these hands-off protests, the messaging seemed really inconsistent, right? You had a Palestine flag next to a rainbow flag. Those two usually don't go together. If you're gay in Gaza, you're probably being thrown off of a building. Then they had Tesla signs. They're protesting Elon Musk and Trump. It was all really jumbled. Number one rule of a protest, you guys, make sure your messaging is consistent. And they're also flexing the fact that they got thousands of people to show up in deep blue Chicago to protest Trump. You could get thousands of people to show up in Chicago if you were handing out free popsicles. So if this is what the resistance is like 100 days in, it's going to be a long 4 years for the Democrats.
Link Lauren talking there about these protests that took place this weekend. And I hesitate to talk about the protests so much as an individual, like what was the intent or the purpose of the actual thing that they were protesting against. The poll is more about protests as a whole. Are in-person protests effective in 2025? Going into more of what Link was talking about there, though, like if you get 1,000 people to show up at a protest in Chicago, is that like, wow, you really did it there? If you're showing up just to show that you don't like Donald Trump, we know.
Yeah, I think we've already figured that out. You don't need to tell us again.
So then you have the consistency across the board. When it comes to these protests, when it comes to the Tesla keys and all that stuff that's going on, here are the Missouri Democrats at Mo Dem Party on X. This is the official account of the Democratic Party. It says 2,000 people in St. Louis showed up in the rain to tell President Musk and his punk-ass kids to take their hands off our country. And then it says, tell Republicans to grow a spine and stand up for America. What's the outcome here? When you're doing this and you're trying to tell the people of Missouri, which I looked it up, Donald Trump won Missouri by 18.41%. Democrats, you want to expand your ability in the state of Missouri to make an effect on the people who you're supposed to be advocating for? I don't know if this is the effective way to do it.
I think the clip you played is very apropos because I really don't know exactly what the message is. It's a very broad message. It's we're against this stuff. But I don't know what it is. And that's the trouble with a lot of protests today, since that's the topic of the day, is that, and this happens on the right sometimes too, I'm not saying it's just the left, that when you protest something, let me know exactly what you want to change. That's what I would like to see. Because then people can apply, pressure or politics or whatever to the thing. Our little protest that we put together, it was very specific. It was, we don't want to be wearing masks everywhere, especially schools anymore.
Even more specific, We want to choose for ourselves if we wear masks or if we don't wear masks, because we don't care if you wear masks or if you want to wear masks. Good on you for making the decision that you feel is best for you. But we also want to choose for ourselves if we're going to wear the masks or if we don't want to have our children wear the masks because we have health concerns with that. So it wasn't about what everybody does. It's just the freedom to choose what we do.
If it's against a particular bill or something, that's very, very helpful. You may not get the outcome you want, but you're protesting something tangible. When it's just about, or you're supporting a candidate, that's very real too. When it's just about we don't like Elon Musk, I guess the specific there would be we just want him to not be a part of government or be doing anything. But what is it specifically that you hate that he's doing?
And in America, you have the right to that opinion. Mm-hmm. You have the right to share that opinion. But you're in the minority. And if you think that screaming louder is going to change your minority, you're going to have to make sure that whatever you scream louder is going to persuade people. Donald Trump's approval rating is still above 50%. He hasn't plummeted in his approval rating after having implemented a lot of the things that he promised that he would do when he was trying to get people to vote for him, which they did in a popular vote sense, in a 7-for-7 swing vote sense, in an electoral college butt-kicking sense. Donald Trump is doing what he said he would do in the campaign, and people liked it then and they chose it, and people are at least willing to go along with it now and continue to support it. So I don't. So I wish I would have known. I got to think about this for a second, and it'll come to me, because I was listening to it on Outnumbered on the way in. And no, it was Harris Faulkner, I think, on the way in, the Faulkner Focus. But the person was saying that the Democrats continue to focus in hard on tactics. Like, what if we try a new tactic? What if we try to deliver the message this way? What if we yell louder and this time we say a lot of bad words? What if we incorporate vandalism? What if we incorporate targeting towards people who drive a specific vehicle? And yeah, I understand they're electric vehicles, and some of those people might be some of us, but it's the message that we're sending. And we're sending it, and they should understand it, because we're sending a message to a company that if we make people not want to buy Teslas because they're worried about their cars being vandalized, then all in all, if you drive a Tesla and it gets keyed, then you're really just doing part of your job by not turning that in for whatever particular reason. So the tactics keep changing, and the message doesn't. The policy positions don't. They're not interested in advocating for some sort of introspection that might take place after you get your butt handed to you in the November election across the board on the national scale. You see the Republicans doing very well in the Senate, and the House could have done better for certain, but you still are in the minority. You don't have any power and authority anywhere, and your response is to yell louder and throw in some cuss words? Go on with yourself. It's not going to do you any good. And every time I see them double down on this, and really, you saw, or you said earlier, I think was it in Wiggins America, that young people are trying to offset some of the older people, run against primary some of the old farts that are in the Democrat Party. And trust me, the Republican has their old farts too. That they're going to try to young up the Democrat Party. The younger version of the Democrat Party is more progressive than the old farts could have ever imagined it being. And the country repudiated that in the last election. That's not what they are interested in. If Donald Trump falls on his face, do I think that the country is going to go, all right, the Trump thing didn't work very well, let's go as far left as we possibly can? I don't. So in 2028, it will be what the Republican Party decides to do with the successes and the failures of whatever the Trump administration puts forward. But the left, all they think is we need the left harder and angrier and filthier. And I just keep going, kids, come over here. Kids, let's just walk on this side. Let's just move over here.
We didn't yell loud enough. I'm a little concerned with the choice to be putting swastikas everywhere in America.
Somebody said, I saw this on social media, like maybe the Nazis are the people who keep drawing the swastikas.
They just keep putting swastikas on signs and clothes and cars and etching them into buildings. It's a little concerning.
Super obsessed with the swastika. It's so disrespectful to Nazi Germany and to the history of what that actually is.
To the reality of what mm-hmm. that is.
It's so disrespectful to the people who suffered at the hands of a murderous, narcissistic, psychologically disturbed dictator in Adolf Hitler and what he did with the Nazi Party and the Jewish people that were lost in that midst. It's so disrespectful to history for the left to be like, "You're a Nazi."
Well, it's amazing because
shut up. Like, do you even know what that word means? It's a Sicilian.
Yeah, we're just now at the point where that generation has mostly gone on. And now they're not there to speak up and say, wait. You don't realize what this is as much. And so it's just being co-opted.
I saw, was it Brown University today? I'll find out the details when we come back, but the Trump administration has pulled back again on some more university funding that's taking place because they're not defending Jewish people's right to exist on their university platforms and on the campus. Like, I understand the phrase, like, never again is now. Can't you see what's happening? And the people who are using Nazi as a slur against a political party that they don't like don't understand the insult that they're lobbing towards somebody else and the absolute hypocrisy of the direction. You want to talk about fascism? You want to talk about what fascism looks like? You're looking in the wrong corner. You're looking in the wrong place. And it's pretty consistent. It's weird to see so much Nazi history tied to the leftist protests. They're obsessed with it. Let us know what you think. Are in-person protests effective in 2025? Yes, in favor of the cause. Yes, but against the cause or no? Andy Frey, YouTube channel. We'll be right back.